Thank you, Blessing Njonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, December 24th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Opposition political parties say 2014 was another 12 months of incremental decline and hardships for the people of Zimbabwe. They blame ZANU-PF for failing to address the country's worsening economic situation.
More industries closed, more jobs were lost, productivity declined. The economy went into a process of shutdown, so it has now started to recede.
Mixed fortunes on the country's roads as some commuter operators hike fares on busy routes, while others are forced to reduce fares due to the low Christmas Eve activity.
And four children who were burnt to death last Friday after a fire gutted a shop they were sleeping in Matopo South, Matabeleland South, were buried today.
Another 12 months of incremental decline and hardships for the people of Zimbabwe. That is how opposition parties are characterizing the year 2014, blaming ZANU-PF for failing to address the country's worsening economic situation. The year saw a continuation of company closures in different cities and towns, escalating losses of jobs for thousands of employees who will not be enjoying Christmas the way they may have wished tomorrow. Offering their post-mortem today, the opposition MDC formations lamented the enduring hardships, saying economic and social growth will remain a mirage under the leadership of ZANU-PF. Despite the uninspiring assessment, the Tsvangirai MDC's spokesman, Obed Gutu, tells reporter Ntunga Milinkomo he sees a silver lining in the fissures that are currently rattling ZANU-PF.
The people of Zimbabwe should not lose hope, because the darkest hour is just before dawn. We can assure the people of Zimbabwe that we are not going to go as far as 2018 before we get the next election. ZANU-PF is crumbling like a deck of cards, and the way things are going is such that only a miracle will save that party from a complete and utter collapse. So for all Zimbabweans, be they in the country or in the diaspora, they must know that we as the MDC, we are there, and that we are ready, and that we are no longer considering ourselves as an opposition party. But as I've already said before, we are actually the government in waiting. Let me take this opportunity to wish all Zimbabweans in Zimbabwe and in the diaspora a very merry and prosperous Christmas, and also a very rewarding and a very, very, very prosperous 2015. Thank you very much.
That was the Tsvangirai MDC spokesperson Obed Gutu on the line from Harare with Ntunga Milinkomo.
A spokesman, Nhlanhla Dube, of the MDC formation led by Welshman Ncube, says the country cannot continue stuck in reverse mode.
For starters, we would like to say to Zimbabweans, both on home soil and in the diaspora, a Merry Christmas. Secondly, as a party, we view 2014 as a year that started off pregnant with hope. However, as the year progressed, more industries closed, more jobs were lost, productivity declined. The economy went into a process of shutdown, so it has now started to recede. So while prices haven't gone up, in short, there are no jobs, money is not being created, so the ability to purchase for Zimbabweans has unfortunately become arrested.
And what are your expectations for the coming year?
Our expectations are hope against hope. Hope against hope in the sense that we are a democratic party. We are a party, of course, that is consolidating itself, that is reorganizing itself through the reunification with the renewal team. So we're going into the new year in full reconstruction mode, preparing ourselves to give again hope to Zimbabweans, to re-excite Zimbabweans into the belief that change through democratic means, peaceful means, can be achieved.
That was spokesman Nhlanhla Dube of the MDC formation led by Welshman Ncube on the line from Bulawayo with Studio 7's Ntunga Milinkomo.
This is Taurai Shava. Thank you for making Studio 7 your number one station. I wish you a Merry Christmas and all the best in the new year.
Chris, it's Christmas Eve, the day when families are normally tying the loose ends as they go to spend Christmas with loved ones. But the majority of the country's civil servants are complaining that their employer has treated them badly this festive season. Many are going for the holidays without their 13th check. Angry with the developments, the Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe told Studio 7 today the union is seeking an urgent meeting with government representatives to address the issue of bonuses. PTUZ Secretary General Raymond Majongwe says that the government has largely ignored them over the issue, with most civil servants having to read about their fate in the media. He adds when the government communicated, they were being given conflicting information from officials.
The newly appointed Labour Minister Prisca Mfumira today told the Chronicle newspaper that the government will this month pay the majority of the civil servants their bonuses, while the rest will be paid end of January, contradicting information from his predecessor, Tongai Muzenda. Studio 7 failed to reach Mrs. Mfumira or Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa for comment. But reporter Jonga Kandemiri spoke with Raymond Majongwe earlier on.
Apparently, after realizing that government was dilly-dallying on the plight and the fate of civil servants, we communicated to government. And we thought the new minister, Priscilla Mfumira, was going to respond to our request of an urgent meeting after realizing that either the Apex Council has deliberately connived with government or they've gone to sleep. And for that reason, it was very correct for us to make this demand, because in 2013, we had a meeting with Minister Goche on the 23rd and the 24th of December in trying to find a solution. So as far as we are concerned, we are going to try and deal with this particular challenge in full view of the economic reality that our members find themselves in.
Has the minister responded to your request?
We have not heard a response from the minister. All we have heard is that she made a statement in the Chronicle, a Bulawayo paper. But we are worried, because if the minister is going to develop this propensity of responding to proper government processes in the media, then we are also going to respond in the media, because at the end of the day, it is not correct, because we have a statutory responsibility to engage governments in discussions, in formal meetings, and we want the minister to desist from engaging their workers in the media as they are showing up. If this particular subject matter is not addressed, surely the first term for 2015 is in jeopardy. And we are not going to be forced to be coerced or to be intimidated from taking this course of action.
And that was Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe Secretary General Raymond Majongwe in Harare with Studio 7 reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
A president of the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions, George Nkiwane, tells Studio 7's Gibbs Dube it is said that the majority of workers did not get bonuses this festive season.
Workers really are no longer going to enjoy what they thought was going to be the enjoyable festive mood and Christmas, because the majority of them have never been paid their salaries, and those that are expected to be paid their 13th check, they've not been paid. So it's really going to be a bleak Christmas, and it's going to be the worst Christmas ever that we've ever had. The majority of them, but like the civil servants, you know, the government continuously changes the dates. They promise them, the date is moved. And in the private sector as well, the majority of them have not been paid their bonus as well. But then the private sector, some of them honestly are not being honest to their workers. Some, of course, we know that the companies are going through a very, very hard time. That one we do accept. The majority of them that are in business in private sector, we know they're making profit. But, you know, they do hide behind the economic situation that we are in as a country. And they also claim not to be making profits. And therefore, they're not paying their workers the bonuses that they expected.
Now, talking about Christmas without bonuses, you know, how can you describe it?
It's a bleak Christmas. It's not a Christmas at all. Because in the Christmas that we know, you have to enjoy with your families, your relatives. You know, in the African context, when you have the Christmas, you go out there, enjoy with your relatives, extended families.
That was George Nkiwane, president of the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions, speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Harare.
Meanwhile, many people were struggling today to travel to their rural homes, with most commuter operators increasing bus fare beyond the reach of many. On some routes, however, some drivers were being forced to reduce fares due to lack of activity. In Marondera, commuter operators were charging $4 instead of the usual $2. For distances that normally attract a $5 fare, some commuter operators were charging between $10 and $12.
My name is Augustine Moyo. I wish to say Happy Christmas 2014 and prosperous New Year 2015 to my mother and family in Plumtree. It's the most wonderful time of the
year. It's the Hello, this is Wesley Tashu from Mutare. I'd like to say Happy Holidays, Happy Christmas and New Year to my family, my wife, my Musa and Bea. Happy New Year. Love you still, you know.
There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting.
Hi, Zimbabweans, wherever you are, I wish you a Merry Christmas. Things might be tight, but things will be okay one day. My name is Taure Shumba.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Hello, Studio 7 staff. I'm Jeffrey Mutikri, and I'm in Inyanga. I'd like to say Happy Christmas to all Zimbabweans and the whole world at large. And, of course, my friends and relatives here in Zimbabwe, and I'm in Inyanga. I'd like to say Happy Christmas and a Merry, Merry New Year. It's the most wonderful time.
Chris, those were Christmas messages sent through the Studio 7 WhatsApp number from our listeners scattered around Zimbabwe and outside. Please continue sending those messages as we go towards the new year. We want to hear your New Year's resolutions and all that you want to say to your loved ones. Thank you so much. We really, truly appreciate. Merry Christmas.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency. Coming up,
four children who died in a fire in Matopo South are buried today.
But first, Chris, we take a look at regional and international news.
A police officer has shot and killed an armed black man in a St. Louis suburb near where an armed black teen was killed by a white officer in August.
The shooting took place yesterday at a gas station in Berkeley, Missouri.
St. Louis County Police spokesman John Belmar says the officer encountered two men during a routine check at a gas station.
The spokesman says one of the men pointed a gun at the officer, prompting the officer to open fire. The second man fled the scene.
Belma says the suspect had a history of run-ins with the law, including assault, armed robbery and theft.
Berkeley Mayor Theodore Goskins said during a press conference today that the officer may have saved his own life by shooting the suspect.
After the shooting, a crowd of several dozen residents gathered at the scene and confronted police.
Local media has identified the dead man as 18-year-old Antonio Martin.
Islamic State militants have captured a Jordanian pilot whose plane was shot down in Syria during a combat mission against the extremist group.
The Jordanian army said in a statement today that it is holding the militants responsible for the pilot's life and safety.
The Britain-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights reported earlier that Islamic State forces shot the plane down near Raqqa.
Jordan, Bahrain, Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates are all taking part in the US-led air campaign against the Islamic State group in Syria.
According to the Department of Defense, as of December 15, the coalition has conducted 553 airstrikes in Syria.
And representatives of Ukraine, Russia, pro-Russian rebels and the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe resumed fresh talks today on a possible settlement of the Ukrainian crisis.
The negotiations are focusing on how to solidify a September ceasefire that has reduced the fighting, the pullback of troops and heavy weapons, prisoner exchanges, and the delivery of humanitarian aid to eastern Ukraine.
Speaking at a cabinet meeting today, Ukrainian Prime Minister Anesei Yanchuk called upon pro-Russian separatists to execute the Minsk protocols.
Ukraine and its Western allies accuse Moscow of supplying the separatists with heavy weapons and Russian army units.
The Kremlin denies the allegations and blames Ukrainian forces for the situation. "2014 is a year that most people in Africa, especially in Liberia, Sierra Leone and Guinea, would want to erase from their minds due to the deadly Ebola outbreak. The World Health Organization says the death toll from the Ebola outbreak has risen to more than 7,500 people and the number of cases is now nearing 20,000. The latest data reflects recent trends, with Liberia and Guinea seeing a decrease in the rate of Ebola transmissions, while Sierra Leone's cases continue to rise. Those three West African countries account for almost all Ebola deaths. The death toll in other countries remains the same, with 6 deaths in Mali, 8 in Nigeria, and 1 in the United States. Spain and Senegal have both had 1 case, but no deaths. In an interview with Studio 7, African Union Commission Chairperson Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma says Africa, however, managed to turn the Ebola challenge into an opportunity.
But that challenge we have decided to turn into an opportunity. As the AU, it's not our core business to deal with epidemics, but we decided that we are going to show our solidarity and unity with the three countries by mobilizing men and women to go to these countries, health workers to go and strengthen the human resources of these countries. And it has been an opportunity to see how much solidarity there is amongst and between our countries and our peoples. And indeed, we have seen it. We now have more than around 500 health workers in these three countries. And in the next 4 weeks, we hope to escalate that to more than 1,000, and that has come from individuals who have volunteered, but also governments who have given us these health workers.
The Centers for Disease Control that you started working on with the United States government, has there been any progress made in as far as that is concerned?
Yes, there is progress, and that progress will be reported to the summit, and then they will decide whether we go forward. But as you know, it's a decision that had been taken but before the Ebola outbreak. But now it needs to be accelerated because of the Ebola outbreak. So there's been plans made, and those plans are going to be given to the heads of state, and then we'll see what they say and then take it from there. But we are working on it and accelerating its establishment.
Are you still calling for African experts who are scattered around the globe to come in and assist in terms of the Ebola crisis for those who have not yet responded?
Well, I think it would be great if they can, or even if they don't come personally to work in these countries, if they can do the same as the African citizens are doing, who are contributing to the Ebola fund that has been established to actually assist and look after health workers in those countries. So I think Africans who are outside, if they are able to come and give their services, it will be good. But if not, they can contribute to the fight themselves by contributing to the Ebola Fund.
That was African Union Commission Chairperson Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma speaking with us from Addis Ababa in Ethiopia.
Four children who were burnt to death last Friday after a fire got at a shop they were sleeping in at Chipisane village in Matabeleland South were buried today after the family received donations for the funeral from well-wishers, including Vice President Pelegezela Mpogo, who visited the family Monday. The deceased are 2-year-old Mbongiseni Dube, 3-year-old Tandolwenko Sibebe, Kukuletu Dube, aged 9, and 11-year-old Ipitule Dube. They were left in the care of 20-year-old Limugani Mguni, who reportedly left a gas stove on, prompting it to ignite a petrol container and exploding in the children's room. Mguni, who sustained severe burns, is said to be in a stable condition at United Bulawayo Hospitals. In attendance at the funeral today was Matabeleland South Resident Minister Abednego Ncube, Senator Stembile Mlotshwa, Matopo North Legislator Neva Kanye, and businessman Mngane Ncube, who donated the 4 coffins. Matopo South Legislator Sol Mahalima Ncube of ZANU-PF tells reporter Standekile Mhlanga Vice President Mpoko also visited the graveyard of the family of the late Vice President Joshua Mqabuko Nkomo, which is located next to the village and where Nkomo's father Nyongolo Nkomo is also buried.
The Vice President, Honorable Mpoko, donated his cash in kind, and that cash about $1,000 and groceries worth about $2,000. And we're so relieved. We're so happy about that.
Yes, and how is the family coping, and how has this affected everyone in the community?
The community as a whole was affected. Was saddened by this development. And the family is coping. Because especially that visit by the Vice President of Zimbabwe, I think it's a bit of comfort. I think they're comforted.
What is your advice to the people in your constituency concerning the use of gas and storage of petrol?
They need to be something like awareness campaign or people need to be taught how to use those gases. Most of us are not familiar with those gases because, as I know, that gas stuff was lit then and it didn't put on that match. It took some time, then it evaporated. So, they are not aware that how dangerous is that.
That was Matopo South legislator Sol Mahalima Ncube of ZANU-PF on the line from Mapisa in Matabeleland South.
Happy holidays, Studio 7 listeners.
This is yours truly, Ntungameli Nkomo.
And Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, the host of the Women's Forum, wishing you a happy 2015.
The 22-year-old mother who gave birth to 4 kids 7 months ago, Chris, and whose plight was highlighted by Studio 7, Alice Mtasa, is still at Harare Hospital because she does not have suitable accommodation. She will spend Christmas holidays in the hospital. She told Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye earlier on that the kids are in good health, but she cannot leave hospital as she still has no accommodation suitable for her growing family. Let's hear what she said to Marvelous Mhlanga earlier on.
I will be spending Christmas with my girls here at Harare Hospital, as we have no adequate accommodation yet. I hope that next year things will be different and we can spend it as a family.
That was Alice Mtasa, the mother of Quad Girls, speaking with Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye from Harare Hospital earlier on.
My name is Precious Shumba. I am the director of the Harare Residence Trust. From the Harare Residence Trust, we wish Zimbabweans a Merry Christmas and a prosperous 2015. Have a blessed holiday.
Chris, now we go to an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In a popular American short story, a young couple, poor but very much in love, frets over what to give each other for Christmas. To buy her husband Jim a chain for his proudest possession, a gold pocket watch, Della sells her proudest possession, her long brown hair, to be made into a wig. Jim finds Della a fine pair of hair combs, but he can pay for them only by trading away his watch. When they exchange gifts and realize what they've done, their now useless presents are all the more precious because of the love and sacrifice they represent. The holiday of Christmas, which millions of Americans and others around the world celebrate today, has inspired many such tales. Some deal with the lessons of generosity and hope, others with the value of friendship, family, and faith. Oddly, one of the most famous, A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, is essentially a ghost story. What they have in common is a spirit of redemption and rejoicing that has long touched the human heart. Tradition is as much a part of the holiday as is its spirit. As in much of the world, millions of Americans will exchange gifts, worship together in their various ways, then gather perhaps with family and friends to complete the celebration over dinner. Many will volunteer to help the homeless, hungry, and others in need. These sentiments transcend nationality, however, and even religion. As the world gets smaller, the Christmas spirit is seen in many places, from Europe to Africa and even Asia. In Japan, Christmas is known more as a time to spread happiness rather than as a religious celebration. Presents and cards are exchanged, and parties are often held for children, with games and dancing. In Madagascar, an island nation off the east coast of Africa, it's summer at Christmas time, but even though it's hot, many homes are decorated in the spirit of the season with holly and imitation snow, even though none of them exist there. The message of peace on earth and goodwill toward men is universal, and one that Americans wish to share at this time of year with all citizens of the world.
That was an editorial reflecting American ideals and institutions.
And in sports news, Highlanders Football Club have appointed former Zimbabwe Saints mentor Bongani Mafu as their substantive coach following the firing of Zambian gaffer Kelvin Kaindu before the end of the 2014 soccer season. The club made the announcement yesterday following a three-month search which attracted coaches from as far afield as Brazil, South Africa and other countries. Club Chief Executive Ndumiso Gumede says they settled for Mafu because of his high qualifications and knowledge of Highlanders' history and expectations. Mafu, who has been based in England, holds a UEFA-B coaching badge and several other coaching certificates. Gumede tells Studio 7's Gibbs Dube the coach is expected to appoint his assistants, build a new team, and produce good results for a club which performed dismally in the last soccer season.
Mafu was actually among the top three that had been identified as possible coaches for the club. And when considerations were made on other factors, chief of which is that our sponsors, Bank APC, have reduced their sponsorship to the club, it was felt prudent that we cut our suit according to the cloth that we have.
Can you give us a bit of a background of this new coach?
Mr. Murphy himself has unquestionable qualifications in football. Granted, he is firstly a school teacher who taught at Milton, at Plumtree and Pagalane in Botswana before emigrating to England, where he spent 15 years. He also is an ardent football follower and is a big supporter of Highlanders. Mafu brings with him a lot of experience gained in England and in Germany.
This contract that he has signed is for how many years?
He has signed a contract for 1 year, which is renewable. We have set up a standard for him to achieve, or else we part ways.
And that was Highlanders Football Club Chief Executive Ndumiso Gumede speaking with Studio 7 from Nyati, Matabeleland, North Province.
And now we recap today's top stories. Opposition political parties say 2014 was another 12 months of incremental decline and hardships for the people of Zimbabwe.
Mixed fortunes on the country's roads as some commuter operators hike fares on busy roads while others are forced to reduce fares due to low Christmas Eve activity.
And four children who were burnt to death last Friday after a fire gutted a shop they were sleeping in Matopo South were buried today.
That's all from us tonight. My name is Chris Gande. Good night.
And I'm Sandra Nyaira, wishing you a blessed evening and a very good night.